On Mondays, we read from your emails. Lisa Krauser of Portland, Oregon, wrote in during our program on what government can do to help small businesses. Her point was to remind policymakers that not all small businesses are the same. There needs to be a delineation between small business and very small business, she writes. As a small business owner with 5 employees, my needs are considerably different than a small business with 500 employees. Many other small business owners wrote in to ask the government for help with health care costs or tax relief, but one listener from Seattle wrote in to say it's the responsibility of consumers to help small businesses survive. For small businesses to continue, such as independent hardware stores, music stores, bookstores, shoe stores, and non-warehouse grocery stores, people must make a conscious choice to go to them, use them, or continue to lose them. Many listeners wrote in during our show on the National Recording Registry to suggest sounds they think should be preserved in this prestigious collection, sounds that stand the risk of getting lost in time and modernization. Kathy Belleville of Los Altos, California, had these suggestions for sounds she considers endangered species. The ding and whir of a typewriter carriage returning, she writes. The clicking sound of a dialed telephone dialing. The repeating click of a phonograph record needing to have the needle picked up. Others wrote in to suggest sounds that mark turning points in history. From one listener, "When I was young, my parents had the record set I Can Hear It Now with Edward R. Murrow. I still remember the hysterical reporter describing the crash of the Hindenburg, Eisenhower speaking on June 6th about the invasion of France, and Arthur Godfrey describing the funeral procession of FDR. And still others wrote in to suggest sounds that, for them, define American culture. From Lisa Weber in Lansing, Michigan, "I'd vote for putting the voice of Mel Blanc and his many alter egos, Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck, Elmer Fudd, and the rest of the gang." From Mackie in Chapel Hill, "Let's hope that someone has the foresight to include a soundbite of Louis Armstrong's voice. Sure, his trumpet is an important part of American history, but his voice is just as rich in history." And finally, from Nan Lehman from Ridgeland, South Carolina, "Marian Anderson's historical performance at the Lincoln Memorial, after being denied the opportunity to perform in other white venues, is surely of historical value." Of course, that was the concert that took place because the Daughters of the American Revolution would not allow Ms. Anderson to sing at Constitution Hall because she was black. Here's an NBC radio announcer from that Easter Sunday in 1939.
"Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We're speaking to you from the steps of the Lincoln Memorial in the nation's capital, from which point the National Broadcasting Company brings you a song recital by the gifted Marian Anderson, considered by music critics throughout the world as possessing a most outstanding contralto voice. Marian Anderson is singing this public concert at the Lincoln Memorial because she was unable to get an auditorium to accommodate the tremendous audience that wished to hear her."
And now, Marian Anderson.